Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hello, Dateable friends. Welcome to the off season of the Dateable podcast. We are, you know, in purgatory here between season 14 and 15, and we will not stop bringing you content. It's just we're taking a little break from our interviews, but here we are again, time and time again.
I love the off season because it also gives us an opportunity to share some of the podcasts we were on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have one today. We have a podcast that we did with Sydney Latuaco from The Bachelor. She was a contestant, but also Bachelor in Paradise and some of the other continuation ones. Yue, you probably know way more about this than I. I admittedly am not a huge Bachelor fan, but I did love talking to Sydney and being on her podcast, Something to Share.
She was on our season, and we talked about how she went from having no relationship experience mm-hmm. to getting engaged to someone who slid into her DMs. Yes. It's actually quite the cutest love story. But on her podcast, we talk about everything modern dating. And when we had this conversation, she was on tour, right? No, she was already back.
No, she was on tour for our podcast. Yes. That's what it was. For this one, she was in her home in Ohio. I remember being like, damn, I really like your recording area. She's like, this is just my hallway.
Yeah. She has a really cute space. And on her podcast, we talk about, this is when West Elm Caleb was like the big deal. Thank goodness people are forgetting about him.
Oh my God. He's roaming the streets now. No big deal. Nothing happened. There's a new guy we learned about, right? Long Island Kevin. Was that who it was?
Too many of these, just bad dating behavior. But we talk about him not too much. And then we just talk about general modern dating. It's a really cute conversation because not cute. That's not the right word. It's a really great, really compelling conversation because she does come from very little relationship experience. In fact, her relationship with The Bachelor was actually probably the most serious relationship she had been in. And before that, it was a lot of here and there. So
situationships, you know.
So many situationships. So the questions she asked us were just a very fresh take on modern dating. So not going in with a relationship focus, but purely on the dating experience side of things.
And she also, you know, she sourced from her community a lot of just general dating questions that are probably very similar to the ones that you all have. So definitely looking forward to re-airing this episode, giving everyone a chance to learn more about, you know, our perspective around modern dating, which if you've been tuning in for a while, you've probably heard somewhat. But like Yue said, there's always a new lens when someone else asks us the questions.
It's always fun doing interviews because then we don't have to do the thinking.
We just talk. Yeah.
Because all the stuff we already know, you know, like it's, we don't need to prep because it's just all in our head. And when we don't need to be the ones asking questions, so easy. It makes it so much easier.
What I do love about her podcast, though, is I do remember we had a prep one thing. It's the very start because her podcast is called Something to Share.
Oh,
and we had to think of something. I won't give away what our answers were. We'll let you listen on. We had to, what was it, like something that was like...
From your bedstand. Yeah, something interesting or unique from your bedstand.
But mine wasn't from my bedstand.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay, now I don't know. I don't know. We had to bring something to...
We had to bring something to share, basically, hence the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
I think it was something that described us in a way or something.
Or silly. No, mine did not describe me. Something silly or interesting. Maybe we got the wrong... Anymore. We got different assignments.
That would be incredible if I was like, oh, I thought it was this, and you had a totally different take.
You've heard of people having parties like that, right? You tell half the guests it's a costume party and the other half it's not.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I have not. I feel like we need to throw one of those just to fuck with people. That'd be so good. I mean, I've seen movies when like one person shows up in the costume, you know,
no,
but never like or a half opposing. And half.
Yeah. Or opposing costumes, you know. You guys are Westerners, you know, like cowboys. And then the other half are like princesses.
Okay. Next dateable event we do, we're totally doing that.
Yeah. But you can't share with the other part, the other people, what the assignment
was. So this is something not to share.
Yeah. Something not to share. Don't ruin the surprise. What a fun week, though. I'm in San Francisco. Julie and I got to catch up, and then we had a really fun birthday dinner for her with all of our girlfriends. Yes. It was so such fun. A good time.
You know, I feel like obviously I love being with my partner and, you know, all that, but there's just something really nice about a girl's dinner. You know, it just changes the vibe. Totally. Yes. Part of the reason why, I mean, you know, I obviously spent enough celebratory time with my partner over the weekend, so I don't think he was offended, but like it was really hard to book more than 8 people at any restaurant. So I was either doing something at my house or only the girls. There was no way I could do like a 16 person dinner. There's just no way.
And the conversations you have with your girlfriends are different than what you would with your partner. And you might say different things if your partner is present. So it's kind of like unfiltered, right?
I was thinking about that. It's not like we're different, but the conversations wouldn't have been the same at all.
No. I don't think he would have found half the things very interesting at all. Like, do you have a top sheet?
We got in a very serious debate here. And maybe we could do like an Instagram poll and get our listener base. Because, you know, it's kind of related to dating and relationships and sex and, you know, anything to do with bedroom. But the big debate was, do you like to sleep with sheets or no sheets? The top sheet that kind of goes over. Are you more of a right on the comforter or alternate blanket? I revealed I have an alternate fleece blanket. So we got really down and dirty into what everyone's preferences was. And we also talked about, I have this happen when one partner, when you're sharing a bed with someone, has a different preference than you. I do remember we had, I mean, I wouldn't call it a fight, but like a mini funny disagreement when one day I was not under the top sheet and my partner was, because you cannot cuddle basically if one person's under and one person isn't.
And I'm team no top sheet. I don't understand. I have a duvet cover.
Same.
That is plenty enough for me. I just clean the duvet cover. With the top sheet, I feel like I often kick it to the side. Like when I'm at hotels, I just rip it out because I don't use it. I don't understand the purpose of it.
Yeah, so I've always had a top sheet, but until my current partner, I've never used it. Like I've always slept on top of it, and then I have the fleece blanket, and then I have the comforter. It's like I don't need a third one. And you know, this is the debate too. I feel like it's warmer when you're on the fleece blanket than on the sheet, but then the argument is you have more layers. We could go on all day on this, but anyways, probably everyone's like, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, maybe you have a strong opinion on this.
Give a
like
fuck.
We did. Because clearly our table did give a fuck about this.
Well, it is, you know, it's one of those things when you're in a new relationship and you're sharing a bed, it's very revealing what happens when you first share a bed. It's different than sleeping over, because when you sleep over someone's house, you just kind of cater to
adjust
what they're used to. Yeah, because you're like, that's their home. But yep. when you're sharing a bed long term or you're moving in with someone, oof, it can get very feisty.
You know, though, I feel like a lot of our listeners probably feel this way because I definitely did. I remember being like, I don't know how I'm ever going to share a bed with someone. Long term, because I feel like, you know, when you're casually dating, similar to what you're saying, like when you're more of like a guest in someone else's place or someone's in your place for very early on, it's really difficult to sleep. I found I would be like up all night, or if they were snoring, it game over. But now, you know, you just learn to adapt. And now I actually have trouble like sleeping on my own. It's so what really? You get used to. Yeah.
Yeah. I would actually kind of agree. I think I can't fall asleep as fast when I'm sleeping alone. Mm-hmm. It's like there's something contagious about a partner falling asleep and you're like, okay, I feel sleepy too. But if he's not around, I'm on my phone till like 3 a.m.
So this is my secret that I learned is I like to wear pajamas to bed. Like they're not like sexy pajamas with pants and a cotton t-shirt. Like a tech t-shirt that I've gotten along the years. Like very unsexy, basically. And when you're like trying to kind of impress someone new, you don't want to wear that.
Oh, yeah.
But then I learned that that was part of the reason I had trouble sleeping. Because I was out of my normal attire, you know, like in some robe or something that I would never sleep in normally. And then basically when I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to wear this stuff. That's when I could sleep again.
So. Oh, we need to do a whole episode about this. Like what you wear to bed, depending on where you are in the relationship.
I do remember like a post in our Facebook group about this. And I did offer that up. I was like, I think part of it was just feeling comfortable.
Yeah. There's got to be comfortable lingerie. Come on. I've worn lingerie to bed and I'm like, this shit is not comfortable.
No.
I don't feel sexy. I don't feel comfortable. I don't want this.
I know some people do sleep naked. I've never been one of those people.
I can't. Yeah, I can't do it.
I just can't. It's so uncomfortable to me. I feel like we need to do the top sheet, no sheet convo and then like sleeping naked or in pajamas.
Okay. Follow those us on Instagram for all those polls.
For all these really enticing polls. We're dying to know. But... Yeah. The only people that care are UA and I. We're like, oh my God, 60% no shit. Top <I know>. Sheet.
And everyone else is like, I thought this was a dating podcast.
Hey, it's all interconnected. It's all interconnected. I think this is a huge combo of dating because, you know, I think that, again, was my problem is I was trying to like be someone I wasn't in the sense of how I appeared in my sleep patterns.
Maybe we should do that as our solo episode when we interview each other, just about the different stages of relationships and how much you let your true self.
I think that's interesting. Known, definitely.
Because
you
know? Like in the beginning, I'm hiding shit in my bathroom. Like you doesn't need to see the tampons. Yeah. You know, I'm using like nice toilet paper. Like I want to make sure that all my cute stuff is out. But now 4 years in, it's like,
this is who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. My boyfriend's like, maybe it's time to throw out that shirt. Yeah, probably.
Exactly.
I think you're right.
Like the one that you wear to bed every night and you would never be caught dead in that. You're like,
yeah, he's
out.
Like, I'm sick of seeing Uber every night. Yeah. Like, time to throw that shit away.
I feel like I definitely, in my current relationship, I think I was pretty myself early on.
Okay. Okay.
I think in the past, I maybe was doing this dance a little more, which is why I could never sleep at night. And I just said, fuck it. He's going to find out eventually. And I want a good 8 hours sleep. That's all I want is 8 hours of sleep.
You're like the Julie without 8 hours of sleep.
Right.
Is a lot worse than
a lot less sexy
what you're
than
seeing.
Someone in pajamas. Right. Okay.
So this is for your own good, buddy.
Exactly. Hey, I feel like the more authentic you could be from day one, the better. Just, you know, like, let's put it all on the table, see if it's a match or not.
Maybe it's like stage in life or age two. I remember just like sleeping over guys' houses when I was in my 20s and just waiting for them to fall asleep first. You know, I don't want to be the first one to fall asleep.
Yeah, because I don't want them to hear me snore too.
Yeah, same.
And it reminds me of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel when she...
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. She wakes up early to basically do like a full set of makeup.
Oh.
So it looks like that's how she wakes up every night.
Yeah. Bridesmaids. Yeah, like wait
to go to bed. Exactly. It's like a very common thing of movies, how common it is in real life anymore. That's another thing. Also, this took place in like the 20s, but yeah. It's like, I can't even imagine waiting for them to fall asleep and setting my alarm early so I can just have this perception that this is how you look all the time.
I remember keeping just a glass of water on my bedstand. So the first thing I do in the morning when I wake up is to drink some water so your breath isn't as stinky. That's a little trick.
That's smart.
But I remember just being like, oh my God, I'm awake. I must drink the water now. Do not talk to me. Do not look at me. Oh, the things we do. And then, you know, you get in a relationship and anything goes.
I know. I just remember like one of my friends being like, I love being in a relationship because I don't have to shave anymore. And I was like...
yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about the different stages of a relationship and it, also pooping, you know, that's...
Oh my God, pooping is definitely one of them. I feel like you hide it and now I'm just like, look, this is what's happening. It's not even a big deal.
It can't be constipated anymore, okay?
Like you talk it through now, right? Like this is like
Yeah, and you like coordinate. You're like, don't go in there. Give it a few more minutes. Yeah, but in the beginning, I would just be like holding it, like running home to do it and coming back out, or like going to public restrooms. Like, I'm just going to go to Starbucks, you know, for a quick pee.
One of my friends went on an early trip with her now husband, so this probably wouldn't happen anymore. And he just like disappeared for a really long time. And she's like, where did you go? And he basically went to use another bathroom.
Wow.
Because he really had to like poo and didn't want to use like the one bathroom in their hotel room.
Wow.
So apparently this is everyone, not just women. It's everyone that's going through this, the early stages.
Which
is so funny when you think about it, because it's every human does this.
Everyone poops. Yes.
Like, why would this be something that would be unattractive? It's human nature.
Everyone poops, but for some reason, at the start of a relationship, you do not poop. You never poop.
Nope.
You smell like roses all the time.
Yeah.
What was that review we got that we only talk about shitting or something? Oh my God. They were right.
I would say, you know, of the reviews, there's been a few that have really stuck out. I mean, the biggest one was when we were called like shit bag, like pieces of shit. I forget what it was even.
Yeah, pieces of
shit. That was the number one.
And we should be arrested. Yeah.
God knows who put that up. The second one was definitely that we talked about number two a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It was written that way.
And they always talk about number two.
I mean, granted, we are talking about it right this minute, but I would say I could count on the number of 250 episodes we've done. Or, sorry, 300 episodes we've done.
Shit.
Yeah. 300 episodes we've done.
Yeah.
Out of the 300 episodes, I think it may be three. Come on. My other favorite review we got was when someone over the pandemic, when I was not dating at all, told me that I sounded like I had a wild, unstable dating life.
You're like, yes. Thank you.
I was like, I wish I did right this minute, to be
honest. What a compliment.
Yeah. But like, have you heard of modern dating? And also, we are pulling from 10 years of experience here. This is not all happening day of.
The reviews are so funny.
They are.
Some people are catching us at a snapshot in our life, and they're maybe listening to like two or three episodes and coming to conclusions about us through those two or three episodes. It's fine. It's human nature, but they're super entertaining when they're like so outlandish, saying we should be arrested and that we are promoting, what were we promoting? Like violent
women,
behavior?
Basically like women to speak up for themselves. Like that's the thing though, is you don't know who these people are at all.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I actually, because you can like see other people, the reviews they leave for others. Podcasts. And I remember like the woman that said that I had the volatile dating life was like married for a year.
Oh, to her. Yeah.
Right.
It's all relative.
So it's, like anyone else is like, yeah, this is modern dating. This is normal. Right. You just don't know.
Wild. Well, we'll talk more about that on this episode. You'll hear it in this episode too.
Right. We'll get into all the dating questions where all the people that are actually dating will understand and feel the pain and not think that it's wild and volatile. Or maybe you do, but just accept that's kind of what's going on right now. Okay. So before we get into it, announcements. At Dateable Podcast is where to follow us. If you want to take those polls that we alluded to, you should get on there now because they'll be coming. And Love in the Time of Corona is our Facebook group. And of course, you can join the Sounding Board, which is our premium community where, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like our episode last week, we talked about the importance of love in your life. And I think community plays into that too. And we definitely saw that in the thick of the pandemic is it really helped with loneliness and just mental health to have other people that get what's going on for you. Like we were just talking about, modern dating can be a wild ride. And if you find yourself in a position where all your friends are married, and not to say that you shouldn't be friends with these people, of course, but they may not understand truly what you're going through. So the Sounding Board is a great place to be with other people that get it and can support you on your journey. And of course, us as well. We'll be there. We do monthly office hours where you can ask us anything. So I think that's it for announcements. So let's hear from our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Kensington Books, and we've got two books to highlight. First up, The Last Mile by Kat Martin. Channeling Indiana Jones, New York Times bestselling author Kat Martin pairs a woman in search of her family's truth with a hard-hitting professional treasure hunter for the second Blood Ties romantic thriller. As an unknown assailant stalks them across a treacherous Sierra Madre wilderness, they race to follow their treasure map's directions to a hidden trove of gold, a novel of taut suspense and danger. Another great book by Kat Martin is called The Last Good Night. From Colorado's cattle country to Denver high-rises and the posh mansions of Vail, a female PI and the rancher who hired her race to deliver justice in this sexy, high-octane romantic thriller. Can she find a killer before he finds her? It's no doubt that Kat Martin's tightly plotted, action-packed romances are just as steamy as they are thrilling. Find out more about The Last Mile and The Last Good Night on KensingtonBooks.com or wherever books are sold. Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable. This episode is sponsored by Viya. We all know there are things that can help set the mood in the bedroom, but did you know a little THC could also do that? Yes, Viya has developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. This gummy, wow, it will awaken your senses, increase blood flow, and intensify any sexual experience. I've been pleasantly surprised by the High Love gummies because it is just the right amount of THC for me to have a good time without feeling sleepy. And hey, if THC is not your thing, Viya also offers a wide array of other gummies without it. And everything legally ships in 50 states with discreet packaging directly to your door. So if you're over 21, you can get 15% off and a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC plus CBN sleep gummies with our exclusive code DATEABLE at viahemp.com. That's V-I-I-A-H-E-M-P.com. Let the gummies work their magic. Head
to viahemp.com and use a code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their sleepy dream gummies. That's viahemp.com and use a code DATEABLE at checkout. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Viahemp.
Okay, let's take it away with our episode with Sydney Lotwako.
Julie, UA, welcome to the podcast. I said that right, correct, UA?
Yeah, yes. That was perfect.
Okay, I was practicing. Welcome to the podcast, the dynamic duo of Dateable Podcast. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to take a deep dive on dating. I asked you guys before we started recording, but it's nice to hear that you aren't sick of talking about this topic because that's most of what we're going to talk about today.
Never.
Never.
And you've been doing this podcast for now 6 years, is that correct?
Yeah, mm-hmm. 6 years.
It's very impressive. I am wondering what made you want to initially start a podcast about dating? Were you did you feel like super successful in it and you wanted to share? Were you having, like, what was the impetus of Dateable?
I would say anything but feeling super successful, which yeah. is why we started it. When we first started, UA was new to San Francisco, so you were recently single, just exploring and just baffled by the dating scene. And I was in an on-again, off-again relationship where, you know, anytime you're on-again, off-again for too long, that's never a good time, never a good thing. So mm-hmm. we were both coming at it as, like, what is happening with modern love and why is this so challenging for us and then for all our friends and all the people we talk to?
Yeah, I mean, dating for sure will bring up a lot. And some people are, like, really successful at it immediately and they pick their one person and it's good. But then I did not feel like that. And I would have been nice to have known about your podcast at the time because I feel like with anything, it teaches you a lot about yourself. And I went on a reality TV dating show to figure out my dating experience. Everyone's different, but there's definitely a period of time where you have to, like, really learn a lot about yourself, about what you want. And it's nice that they have a resource like you guys to turn to.
But that's a good point, though, Sydney, is that you kind of have to be in a place of receiving this information. And I think a lot of us, when we start dating, we're not in that place. We just want to go out and try it. We think we know what we're looking for. We think we know what a good relationship looks like. And I don't know about you, but the more I dated, the less I felt like I knew.
I think you also bring up a good point, too, of that it's so much of it's about you as the individual, because when we started the Dateable podcast in 2016, the podcast was completely different than it is now. We just thought it would be funny dating stories, you know, trials and tribulations of what happened. And what we realized was so much of it was the deeper side, and why dating is so difficult is that it's a reflection of you at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. It's super lovely when you learn that and then you can do that work on yourself in order to find the success. But it can be very frustrating because when you don't realize that, it can feel like you're, like, running against a wall over and over again and getting the same kind of situations in dating. So, I'm excited to talk about a lot of them today. Before we do, I ask these initial questions of every guest, and I'd love to hear from you both individually. First question is something to share either from your nightstand, surprising, or with an interesting backstory. So usually it's an object. It can really be any way that you want to take it, but do you have anything that comes to mind for both of you?
We were texting back and forth. We're like, what are you going to show? How appropriate are you going to be? And I'm just going to go there. Well, I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to go here. This is very embarrassing. I have nasal strips. Can you see that? In my nightstand, because I don't know, as soon as I turned 35, I think, for the last, 6 years, I've been snoring up a storm. And I didn't realize till I started dating my now partner. And he's like, you have a real snoring problem. So I'm trying to figure out every way to cure that. But these nasal strips do not work.
No, they don't.
No.
See, that's the reflection.
I've tried
those
too.
That's the reflection of having a partner. When you're single, you're just living in ignorance, right? That I'm not a snorer.
Yeah, nobody knows. No.
You're like, I don't snore.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
They're like,
I don't do it.
Real bad.
Yeah. It's so fun to find out things about yourself that you could have just never known, you know? Yeah. Have you figured out something that works? Because I sometimes struggle with the same thing from time to time. And the strips do not work.
No, not at all. As something that has worked, earplugs for him.
It's his problem now.
I think sometimes you figure it out.
It can be what side you're sleeping on is what my partner and I have realized. Like if you're sleeping on your back versus your side. So sometimes I just have to push him over.
Oh, yeah. No, he pushes me all the time and I get real mad and I've whacked him in the face a few times. You know, it's just a self-defense reflex in me. But the earplugs have worked really well. And then just having him fall asleep before I do also works too. Mm-hmm.
That's what happens with me. I feel like I don't do it anymore, but maybe it's because he falls asleep before me.
There you go.
Yeah. Julie, what do you have to share with us?
You know, I went in a little bit of a different direction, but it's also in the mode of self-exploration. Oh. So we did this episode on our podcast last week about just the energy and vibe you bring, especially when dating and the different aspects of your personality that show up. And I did this training that was it was basically a test of what color energy you bring out. So it's all about just, you know, aspects of your personality and how they show up. So this is ordered in my order. So yellow is the top, then red, then green, then blue. Mm-hmm. And yellow is more like, you know, sunshine personality, positive energy, you know, very social and friendly. And then red is more straight to the point, get things done, more of, you know, that type A personality, bold, fiery, that aspect. So I thought this was really interesting to understand. It's kind of like Myers-Briggs, but it's just colors instead of letters. Mm-hmm. And you could also see that on these, it says like, how is the best, what's the best way to talk to you and communicate with you? So like yellow, for instance, is involve me. You know, I would, as someone that's social and friendly, if I'm left out of the conversation, that's going to be triggering to me. Yeah. So I like doing all these little tests of just to better understand myself. And I think it's really interesting. And I think it relates 100% to dating because it's like, how are you showing up? How are the people with you showing up? And how do you work with that? Because, you know, we're not all the same.
Yeah, I love a personality test more than anything. And I think it does apply to dating too, because it's like, oh, this is what I need to feel fulfilled. Yeah. And that can apply to like, this is how I need to be loved, or this is how I feel love, or can be shown love in any type of relationship. So I think it's really important to understand yourself. And it sounds like you guys have like continued to do that, especially too, because we're not always the same. So we tend to change. So like checking in with yourself every once in a while is important. What are those called, those Lego-looking things that you just showed me?
I know they are. It's from this company. It's called Insights. So you can do the test from them.
Okay.
And why they chose to do them as Legos, I have absolutely no idea. But but it's something that you can keep. The idea is that you keep them like on your desk, so when people are interacting with you, they know how.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
She's a yellow. Let's include her.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Okay. I'll have to look into those. next question. Anything that's been on your heart or mind lately for each of you?
How deep do you want to get?
I'm fully there for the deep or surface, whatever you want to bring today. Put on your heart.
Well, I think for me, and I've been thinking about this for a few years now, is as I get older, I feel like time just flies by so much faster. And all I want to do is for time to slow down. But then I think about my younger self, like in middle school and high school, you cannot wait to graduate high school. You cannot wait to be in your 20s. You cannot wait to drink and go to the bars. It's like everything is about future events. I can't wait to be an adult. And now I feel like I've completely slowed down that thought. And I cannot wait to savor this moment, like this hour we have together, versus thinking about like, I can't wait for my vacation, you know, in a few months.
Has there been a way for you to feel like you've slowed things down, or it's just like embracing the moment?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest thing for me because my mind just races and I realize that it's really hard for me to be present. So currently I'm enrolled in this program. It's called Positive Intelligence. And what the coach has you do is whenever you want to just slow down time, you focus on one of your senses. Like for me, I'll rub my two fingertips together just to feel like the ridges on my fingertips. Then you kind of, everything kind of goes into slow-mo when you do that.
Yeah. It's like, I like it. It's like a grounding practice almost to like bring you back into the moment. It's very cool. Julie, what's on your heart or mind?
So I'm about to do egg freezing tomorrow. Yeah. So wow. That is definitely on my mind.
Are you already on the hormones and all of that
stuff? Not yet. Okay. They start tomorrow. Okay. So yeah, I'm just starting this. Wow. And yeah, I think it's a lot. Mm-hmm. I was kind of going back with my partner too. Like, should we do embryo freezing? Should we do egg freezing? And it just brings up a lot because it's almost you're doing the reverse order of things. That you're making these decisions before mm-hmm. you get married, before you live together, like all this stuff. It's a very interesting way of doing it, but it makes sense because you're preserving time and you're, you know, you have your biological clock that's mm-hmm. ticking mm-hmm. at the same time. And yeah, I think it's just on my mind, obviously doing hormones and injections and all that stuff doesn't sound like that much fun, but you know, I'm going to do it and...
It's for the greater good.
Excited to get it over with.
Yeah. I've heard from talking to people about that recently, it kind of pushes a relationship forward a lot because yes. you have to ask like all of the harder questions, even if you're like yeah. not married or whatever. Like it's jumpstart. How has that affected your relationship with having those conversations?
Oh, we definitely did that this weekend. Oh, yeah. And I think it did bring up a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was hard, some of it in the moment, but I actually believe we did get to a better place, a more commitment from having it. And you're right. If we didn't have that as the catalyst, we might not have had that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe you would have like felt alone doing it more mm-hmm. if you hadn't mm-hmm. had those conversations. So it's good that like you
the
did.
The ultimate well, DTR. I mean, that would.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm is about to freeze my eggs.
Define yeah. the relationship, yeah. I guess that. Yeah. Took me a second. All right. Well, let's get to relationships and dating and all of the stuff that you guys are very good at. First of all, your podcast is called Dateable. Like I said, you've been doing this for 6 years. So I'm curious, with doing this podcast for so long and talking about the same essential thing, dating, what have you noticed or have you noticed anything as far as shifts that have been made over the past 6 years in dating?
I think one major observation we've seen is for so long, daters get into the dating scene like they do when they go on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It's all about chasing the other person, convincing them to like you back. But we don't take a pause and think about, well, do I actually like this person? So it feels very pageantry in the sense that we feel like, oh, the first couple of dates, I have to present the best version of myself. And I can't let this person see this other side of me because I need to know that I'm getting a second date or third date. The shift we're seeing now after the pandemic is people are saying, fuck it to that. Like, I don't need to, the right person, I don't need to convince them to love me back. They're just going to love me for who I am. And it's a very liberating place that we're in.
That's huge to realize that. You're like, this is who I am. This is what you're getting. Because I think that person will come out no matter what. And sometimes that can surprise mm-hmm. people when you get to a certain point in your relationship and you're like, who is this yeah. person that – this is not the person I started dating. Yeah. Julie, what were you going to say?
Yeah. I think one really interesting thing, there's been a lot that has stayed the same and there's a lot that has changed over the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. But one part that we're constantly unraveling, and I think every year it just continues to unravel more, is these ingrained gender roles and the way that we thought we would date. And that plays mm-hmm. off what UA was saying, was that it was always, you know, especially in heterosexual relationships, that the man chooses the woman leans back, they're not supposed to initiate anything. Mm-hmm. There's rules we go by. There's terrible advice we got from books like Why Men Marry Bitches and Cosmo. And yeah. it's hard because we're a lot of us, I think, especially millennial generation, Gen Z, I think, has a fighting chance mm-hmm. on this. So millennial and above are fighting this constant traditional aspect that we've been told and ingrained in our former years mm-hmm. with what modern dating is. Mm-hmm. And that is a challenge for both men and women. And what I think one of the things that we're seeing too is that everyone is playing this game of relationship chicken, which basically means that no one is making the move. And a lot yeah. of that is because, you know, men with Me Too and stuff, it's hard to make those moves, especially in places like the workplace. You're not going to go out on a limb because now you don't just get rejected, but you're a sexual mm-hmm. harasser. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more at stake. And I think a lot of that movement and everything that's happened for women, net is a great positive thing. Mm-hmm. But kind of the downfall of it is that now everyone's just a little confused. There's no rules, which again is a great thing that lets people be who they are, but there's no playbook. Mm-hmm. Like, no one knows what to do. So a lot of times people are just sitting in purgatory waiting for things to happen. And what we have seen the shift, like Yue was saying, is that people are starting to take a bit more accountability. This like fuck it mentality is, especially with the pandemic, life is short, let's make things happen. So I do think the shift is coming, but over the last 6 years, I think when we first started this, we had way more traditional views than we mm-hmm. do now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are starting to come out of it, but it's a constant struggle when you've been told one thing your entire life.
Yeah, I was wondering if that would probably get confusing because before it was almost like there's clear steps to take, yeah. which maybe they weren't correct necessarily, but right. now it's like there's no mm-hmm. steps because everyone's like, what do we right. actually do? So what would you tell to someone who feels like, I don't know how to act, like I don't know how to date right now, like I don't know what's right and what's wrong? What would you say to someone like that?
Well, the flip side that makes it beautiful is that we create the yeah. love lives we want. Back mm-hmm. then we had a very rigid book that we followed, and a lot of that led to divorce, which is another yeah. reason why I think people in our generation are commitment phobic. And we saw that way didn't work. So this is actually a huge opportunity to kind of paint the relationship and design the relationship we want. Mm-hmm. So what I would say to people is, instead of looking at it as confusing, look at it as, I can pave my own path. And that means that I can just be my authentic self and do what I want. And the right person is going to want to be along.
It's a real ride. It's a real opportunity right now for daters to be honest about what they're going through. Like what you just said, Sydney, is someone could bring that on a date and say, I'm actually a little confused by what's going on in the dating scene. This is what I'm comfortable doing. What are you comfortable doing? And then two people mm-hmm. just keep meeting each other versus trying to guess and play psychics of like, what I'm going to guess what this person wants. And it's a very vulnerable and human moment when we can bring that honesty to a date and just admit that I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Like, I would agree. That would be refreshing when someone's like, especially if like a guy, for example, because usually like you have to wait yeah. to call them 3 days or that used to be the old thing. But if they're like, you know what, fuck it, I want to call yeah. you tomorrow. I don't know what the protocol is here, but this is how I feel. I think that would be very refreshing. Yes. So the more yeah. people can probably just be like open and honest, I think that would be for very sure. helpful. But
yeah, I know personally when I stopped playing those games, mm-hmm. that's when things fell into place mm-hmm. for me. And if I could get back all the hours I waited for someone to text me and then they never did, instead of just texting them, I'd rather just know that they're not interested because then it's over.
Yeah. Or if you do text them, it's like 8 texts later. You're like, how did I get here?
Yep.
yeah.
One more question on that, because you guys are dateable podcasts. Like, what would you consider make someone quote unquote dateable? Like, what are good qualities to have to be dateable? Mm.
Well, I'm going to describe basically our Facebook community, because I think we have some of the most dateable members. People who are open to new ways and new perspectives. People who are eager to learn and curious. People who listen more than they speak. And then also there's this aspect of just this honesty, who can be open and vulnerable in what they're feeling instead of being performative and being someone that they think other people want them to be.
Take accountability for themselves opposed to blame others is a mm-hmm. big one. It's easy to blame the apps, your city, all that stuff. But having the emotional intelligence to see how you are showing up and make accordingly, even if that's not always, you know, the easiest thing, that's so important.
I like accountability. Yes. Yeah, that's a very good one. All right. Well, let's get to a couple scenarios and then we can get back to more of the questions I have. There's quite a few and I'm really bad at reading and talking, so we'll just like bear with me. Hey, Sydney, I know you've previously said in the past that your relationship with Nick, who's my fiance, is the first relationship that you've been in, i.e. first boyfriend, etc. I'm just wondering, do you ever get jealous that he's previously been in other relationships before you, and how do you deal with it? Do you guys talk about Do you guys talk about it? Do you ask him questions about the relationships? Does it come up in fights? How do you resolve it? How do you eventually get over it? How have you come to accept and move forward? Then she goes on to say, never been in a relationship, but I'm also a jealous person. So I imagine it might cause problems later. So basically, like, if you haven't dated a lot, you're in a new relationship and you get jealous, or like, is it okay to be jealous? Like, how to work through those like jealousy things?
Well,
like,
how would you answer that question? Anything.
Well, I told her, I was like, thank you for this. Obviously, I would just say, like, with my relationship, for example, because this is my first relationship, this is not my fiance's first relationship. He has had other past relationships, but they're now married with kids. So that helps a little bit. But when the jealousy has come up, and it always will naturally in certain situations, I just remind myself, like, he's in this relationship for a reason. Like, those other relationships ended for a reason.
Yes.
As long as he's not continuing to like talk to them and like have a relationship with them, I'm perfectly fine knowing that like I'm comfortable in the relationship that we have. So I don't need to worry about other people or other relationships that have happened in the past. But I can see where she's coming from, where it's like hard to, when it's your first relationship, feel like the chosen one in a way, when you just like know that you're not his first. Well, it's like she chose him to be the first. So that's really special for her. But not everyone has the same type of experience. Mm.
I think the way I would look at it is that I think the word relationship is very broad. Mm-hmm. So the relationship that you have with your fiance is different than the relationship he had with someone else. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking at it that he's had all of these and you've had none, think about it that we're both new to this current relationship. Mm. So this is an experience that we're both in for the first time. This relationship is different than others. And let's not group all of them together. Look at it more of this is us. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing. The other is we have all had relationship experience.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't romantic. Maybe it wasn't defined, like if it was official relationship, but we all have friends. We all have family members. We all have relational skills. And ultimately, that's what's important is how can you relate to one another, not your roster of past relationships. And quite frankly, I think sometimes people that have had less relationships might be in a better place because you don't have that jadedness and you don't have some of the aspects that come with just the continuous churn of relationships. So I would say no relationship history is superior or inferior over one another.
Yeah. And to be fair, Nick has witnessed you on TV having romantic connections with other people too. I think what we need to think about in this scenario is everybody from your past has set you up to be with the person you are with today. So for me to, because I kind of had the same similar feelings when I first started dating my current partner who came out of a divorce, I kept thinking, why was he able to give her that commitment and kind of dragging his feet with me? And then I realized a way to think about this is she groomed him, or their relationship groomed him to be the perfect partner for me today. And I have her to thank. I am actually very grateful for his previous relationships. So maybe we can just take a moment and be grateful that you weren't part of these previous relationships that didn't work, which set the ball to be spiked into your court.
I love that reframe. I think that's important because when you look at it from that lens, it's not as like scary or bad.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's been perfectly trained, trained for me at this point. That's great. All right, next one. So I met this guy on Hinge back in August and we went on dates between August and early October. When I tell you I had never felt that way about any guy before, I meant it. Every date was amazing. We connected so well and he was everything I wanted and more. He checked off all my boxes on paper and we had an amazing connection. Fast forward closer to the fourth date and before we see each other again, he starts acting really weird and distant. We aren't talking every day and his communication is very sporadic. I openly address it on the date and he gives me a good excuse and all is well. Sorry for the long message. Before our last date, communication is spotty again. The last date goes amazing, but then after that date, his communication completely falls off the wagon. I mean, we went from talking every day to me now texting him once a day or every other day, and I didn't hear from him for almost a week. Mid-October rolls around, and it's safe to say he's pretty much ghosted me, and I never got closure, even after I sent him a long message looking for answers. It's been over 4 months since I've talked to him, but I can't get this guy out of my head. I truly believe if things didn't end the way they unfortunately did, We could have had an amazing story slash relationship, and we both seem to be on the same page. I'm still confused all of these months later, and I've thought endlessly about talking to him, but I'm nervous to open up that door when I know I deserve someone who makes me feel valued and highly respected. I just don't want any regrets with not seeing what if could have been there. Thoughts?
I feel like as you're reading this story from the very beginning, I was going to
get
this. This is the most common thing that all we get time. All the time. So I guess for the person that submitted this, feel at least, you know, that you're not alone in this, that this happens to everyone. I think this is the classic focusing on the checkboxes and building this person up that, quite frankly, you just don't know very well. Mm-hmm. And you've created this image of this person that isn't real. And that's where it becomes difficult because you didn't just lose this person. I think sometimes the most difficult endings are the relationships that never got off the ground in the first place. Because you're not just losing the person, but you're losing this what if future that you've created in your mind. So I guess the first aspect is this person that submitted have said it over and over that this person was not making her feel well.
Yeah.
They were constantly thinking about just spotty behavior, inconsistent behavior. Is that what you want in a relationship? Even if this person checks all the boxes, is perfect on paper, at the end of the day, that's so much more important of how they're making you feel and what side they're bringing out than if they check the boxes.
Yeah, that's one of the most important boxes to check is communication and making you feel like seen and like loved. And he did not check that very important box. So, but it's so hard when you like romanticize it and it's like the what ifs and you feel like he's not seeing what you're seeing. But yeah, it's like actions are more important than like words and the fantasy of it in that position. Yeah. But it's tough.
And it's so much easier for us to say this right now that we're not in the situation. Yeah. I recognize that when you're in it, when you thought you found that person, it can be so heart-wrenching and difficult. So don't want to minimize the feeling. And I think you can feel all the feels and get it out of your system. I would say if you can time box it in some way, instead of suppressing it, let it out, but also recognize that your end goal is to meet that person that checks the most important box, like you said, Sydney. So don't let this person get in the way of you finding that person.
I would just want to say I've been there so many times and I can verbalize the narrative in your head right now. It's probably like, what did I do wrong? Did I say something? If only he could see all of me, that all that I can give, he'll see that I'm perfect for him. Our relationship was headed into this like great trajectory and was something done, like did something happen for this to go down like this? Well, stop putting the blame on yourself or the situation. We said at the top of this episode, the right person doesn't need to be convinced, and you do not need to convince this guy that you're the perfect person for him. Something has happened where he has misaligned himself with what you're looking for. And that's what a relationship is about, is every day you check with your partner, are we still aligned? Are we aligned? And when you have that misalignment and he's no longer willing to realign himself with you, that's not the person for you. And for you to hang on to this, like what Julie was saying, this image, this man that you were chasing the story, you know, you're like, that could have been such a great meet cute story. We could have had a great start to this relationship. I want to tell my friends and my kids how this all went down. You are playing into the Hollywood factor of relationships, and they don't work out like that. And after the credits roll, that's when the real work begins. And this guy was not willing to put in the work after the credits roll.
That's so big. Yeah. Because you think of it like a fairy tale, which some aspects can definitely be, but there will be more work that happens after. And both sides have to be willing to put in a lot of work in order to like support the relationship. And you don't want your relationship to be one-sided.
Exactly.
No.
Send in love. Okay. Podcast topic. A fun topic I know people feel strongly about both ways. Are you able to make a marriage last if you've broken up as a couple previously? I personally don't think so, because the reason for the breakup will always be an underlying theme in the relationship. I have a lot of friends that are married to people they've split up from during their time dating. Thoughts?
There actually is a stat that about half of couples break up at least one time and get back together. I would say that I do think it's possible. It depends on if things changed, if there was work done with the couples. I'm thinking about Insecure, that TV show, which is one of my favorites.
That's a good one.
And, you know, the two main characters, they needed the time apart to grow as individuals. And then they found they found their way back to one another. And I think that it can work, but you can't just be coming against the same problem over and over again. And that's when the person that wrote in, what they mentioned is totally valid. If nothing has changed, people aren't willing to do the work, then yeah, you're going to keep encountering that. And I think ultimately you have to decide, is this something I can live with? No one's going to ever be perfect. There's always going to be something, whether it's something you can work with or not. That's an individual decision. So I would say that it's not a hard, fast rule. It really comes down to what is it, first of all, that's getting in your way? Are people willing to do the work? And is this something you can live with?
I like that. And I think if they've done that change, it's a great way of like showing how things would proceed in the future if you run into other issues, like if the change did happen. But I think one, it has to do with what the issue actually was. And then two, what changes were made.
But reconciliation never works if the reason for reconciliation is we still love each other. And unfortunately, love is just not enough in this scenario. What we've seen work with these relationships is that after the breakup, two people become completely different people, and then they get back together and they can talk about their past selves when they had the breakup. That's when you know that they've done the work. If no work has been done, and we've heard people say this too, I want to get back together with my ex because I still have feelings for her or him. It doesn't really matter, because it's most of the time when you break up, it's not that the feelings have faded. It's that you stopped working towards a relationship.
All very great points. I have a few more questions. This one is, they're a little shorter now. So this one is from a guy. He says, I make plans with girls and then they bail the night of. Has happened pretty frequently. So like, what's happening here? What could be happening here? Bailing at the last second.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's just bad dating behavior.
Yeah, not dateable quality.
Not at all. And I think it just shows how in modern dating, we see each other as disposable sometimes. And we feel like, well, I have better plans, so I'm just going to cancel these. It's not a big deal. I think if you are experiencing this over and over again, I think it's important to set up the expectation from the beginning and say, I want to see you Friday. I made plans for this and this. I've experienced people bailing last minute. I don't appreciate that. Like, I would never do that to someone. So if plans do change, can you just give me advance notice? Just set it up so then other people will take more accountability for their actions. And don't try to play it cool. I know I've been there. Oh, it's no big deal. Yeah, we can reschedule for another time.
Yeah, I'm always available.
Because then you're like building up the resentment inside, but outwardly you're presenting this very amicable, like, yeah, we can do this again. Definitely express your needs and set the expectations from the beginning.
And I definitely can relate to this person too. We've heard a lot of men say this, that women are super flaky with dates. And this is definitely the downside of modern dating, that you don't know these people, that essentially you feel like they're not a real person until you've met. If you just met on an app, for instance, it's a photo you saw on the screen.
Yeah.
So it just makes you less accountable. I don't want to say that it's his fault, but I do believe that the only person you can control is yourself. And if you don't want this to keep happening, maybe it is worth looking at what are my patterns. Are there any blind spots that I'm putting out there that I could change? For instance, maybe he's asking people on dates really quick and they're not building up enough rapport. Maybe try a video date first where you've seen this person. They can say, oh, okay, this is a real person. If I stand them up, I'm actually messing with a real person's schedule, not someone I don't know.
Yeah. Putting like an actual conversation to a picture is important.
Yeah.
You guys are very good at this. See, you've been doing this for 6 years. Love it. Okay. Been 1+ year and he's still, quote, working on himself, but says he's interested in dating me one day.
What?
So good.
Excuse me?
I mean,
yeah.
I think this is one of the other things we hear all the time is that we're banking on potential. And, you know, I've actually been in this situation. It hasn't been, you know, one day they'll date me, but one day I'll really commit to this, right? Mm-hmm. Is when I get myself in order. We have to take people at face value. If they're not ready at this, the time that you're meeting, that's not the right person. And if I wish I could have recognized that earlier mm-hmm. and taken back that time, it is so much easier to work with someone that also wants to make the commitment to be in a relationship and is ready for a relationship than trying to convince someone that doesn't. And I think we all have work that we need to do on ourselves. We're all works in progress. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a relationship while you're working on yourself. It's not exclusive mm-hmm. to one another. Mm-hmm. And we hear from all the time from relationship experts that the best relationships and actually a core reason for getting into relationship is to heal our inner child and all of our past traumas. So if you can find someone that's willing to do that work with you, mm-hmm. that's what a lasting relationship is. So yeah, take it at face value. Find someone that's willing to meet you.
And newsflash, we're all working on ourselves. We never stop working on ourselves. And if we keep saying I'm working on ourselves, I'm working on myself, and one day I'll be ready for X, Y, and Z, then nothing's going to happen because we're never going to get there. Yeah. In this scenario, I personally think this is just an excuse of someone saying, I don't feel that compelled to be with you. And we have to stop delaying what we want for a timeline for someone else that we can control.
Yeah. This is the guy that strings you up. Oh, yes. For sure.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is the breadcrumb.
Yeah.
And this is really tough because you're getting something from mm-hmm. it. And again, do not want to minimize the feelings because we've both been here before. And this is one of the hardest things when someone's giving you a bit, but not the whole pie. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes could take you a while to figure out that you deserve the whole pie and that they're not giving it to you. And one day you will meet someone that makes you realize why mm-hmm. nothing else worked out.
Yeah, so true. Okay, could use advice. Move to a new city, have a crush on a guy, but he's my only friend. Do I tell him?
Only friend?
Yeah, in this new city that she just moved to. So like the only guy that she knows in the city. Does she like make a move to try and be in a relationship? Because if she does, then that could ruin the friendship and this is new for her.
I feel like moving into a new city. Okay. We've seen this happen too. Now it's jogging my memory of all the times we heard this story. When you move to a new city, you want to latch on to someone, the support network, right? And I think sometimes it's harder to decipher if your feelings are that of wanting to feel supported or these are romantic feelings. I think moving to a new city, your first priority is to build your network and support group. So make more friends before you act upon what this could be a romantic impulse or this could be something real. We don't know yet. It's just hard. It's a little hard to decipher at this point.
Perfect. Okay, next one. We have like one or two more. I think this guy at my job likes me. He's somewhat of a new employee and he added me on Facebook a couple of weeks ago and thinking nothing of it, I accepted it. Since then, he has liked/reacted to many of my photos, including photos from 2013, 2015, and so on.
Damn.
Come to find out, my coworker found out from another coworker that he has a girlfriend. I'm not interested in him, but this is the weird male behavior I don't understand. I don't get it. Why do people do that?
Oh my goodness. Deep liking. Yeah, I think a lot of it's validation that they want to get kind of a rise out of you. They want to like occupy your thoughts and mm-hmm. it's working, right? We're talking about him. She's writing into a show about him. He's gotten that.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times we overestimate the importance of social media behavior too. When we hear all the time, someone looked at my Instagram story, they must be really into me.
Oh, yes.
They also could just be bored.
Yep.
You know, like there's
or
so
flipping
many
through. Yeah.
Right. So some of it could be validation or some of it could just be that they do not hold the same weight that you do. Like this person might have just been like, oh, it's my coworker. I'm going to look through their past photos. I think it's a little weird to go in deep like from 2013, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he hasn't even given it a second thought. We all think differently.
Yeah. I know. The story view is a big one for people, especially when they're trying to get over a guy or if they've ghosted and they still watch the stories. Like, that is the one thing that people definitely hang on to a lot. But I think my fiance reframed it. It's like, think about how you watch Instagram stories. Like, you go flip, flip, click, click, and that's it. It's not that, like, you're, like, fawning over this one story. I don't know.
No. They might not even be actually watching it. They might just be clicking through to get to the next person.
I know. That's the thing. We don't know how other people interact with social media, and we're placing our behavior onto them. I agree. It's just like, you just, people are weird. Just know that people are weird. Yeah. And until he acts upon his words or whatever it may be, I don't think this is anything that's worth your time to think over or mull over.
I don't think it's like, go tell the girlfriend this is happening. I just, like, don't think it's necessary.
No, I'm sure he has a ton of Instagram models that he's looking at too.
Yeah, just let him do whatever. Okay, last question I'll ask you guys. Talking / going out / hooking up with the guy for a year and then him saying, we're just good friends.
Oh, goodness. We hear this one a lot too.
What's going on?
Well, again, Julie said this earlier too, you can only control yourself. You cannot control other people. So in this moment, you got to say, what do I want? Do I want something more? How did it make me feel when he said we were just good friends? Obviously, from this question, it sounds like you're not happy with this answer and you want something more. So this is your chance to take control and ask for something more. Let him know your feelings. Maybe for him, he's like, this is great. We're friends. We're hooking up. We're like, we're getting everything. She's not asking for anything more. This is the time to take control of your love life and get what you want out of it.
The DTR or not DTR.
The DTR.
The description of what he was or what they were was everything that you need to know.
The slash this. Yeah.
And it's classic fuck boy because he can't be.
Okay. Speaking of fuck boys, I know you guys
favorite topic.
Yes. I know you guys have talked about this on, like, news channels and all the things. West Elm Caleb, who was really big on TikTok.
Favorite fuck boy.
I know this is, like, your the fuck boy of the moment. So if you guys don't mind, like, describing this West Elm Caleb, if people might not know who he is and how he kind of epitomizes modern dating in a way. Mm-hmm. So I would love to talk about West Elm Caleb for a second.
So the backstory is apparently all these women on TikTok discovered they were all dating the same guy, this guy named Caleb, who worked at West Elm, and he would love bomb them from the beginning. He would send them, like, a Spotify playlist of how much he liked them. And he would shower them with, like, all these words of affection. And then he would ghost them. So all these women, like, found
sleep with them and then ghost them.
And I guess he was also sending them the same dick pics, and they realized that later too. So in the end, these women found out that they were all dating, or they had all dated the same guy. And some of them were still currently dating him, and they wanted to band together and, you know, basically call him out on it. But this is not new news. We've seen this behavior happen. In fact, women have also done this with men as well. Okay. So let's just not, there's, like, a West Elm Kelly out there somewhere.
Yeah. For sure.
It does epitomize bad dating behavior, because what it shows is that we are very bad at establishing our boundaries and communicating our needs. So especially in early dating, we kind of just, like, want to be cool and go with the flow and not really step back and think, do I like this person? Do I like this behavior? And not draw those boundaries. Now, what did he do wrong? Him seeing multiple women, was that wrong? No, because he did not commit to any of them individually. What he did do wrong was he did not communicate that he was seeing other people. So I think he gave off the impression that he was monogamous with these women from the beginning very quickly. So we can't really fault him for the seeing multiple people, but at the same time, like, we have to look at our own behavior. Am I also seeing multiple people? Am I communicating what I'm doing here? We just got to take more accountability for our own actions at the end of the day. It's not West Elm Caleb, it's you at home.
I do see, though, how the women, like, fell for it, right? It's you, it's, it's hard in today's world to find that connection. And that's why so many of the questions you receive, Sydney, were just hanging on to this hope of this person. And sometimes when you feel like you found that person that gets you, that wants the same things as you, it feels like you found a needle in the haystack. And we want to make that story work and we want to find all the reasons it can. And that's human nature. And I think especially why love bombing is problematic is that you don't know if it's genuine or not. We all want the effects of love bombing, someone telling us we're amazing and they want to be with us and all the stuff. But then it becomes problematic when it's the West Elm Caleb situation where they're saying it to get something, basically to sleep with you. And then not actually following through on it, essentially lying to you. So I don't blame the people that fell for it. It's human nature. That being said, we do need to remember that we've met this person for what, maybe like 1 or 2 hours, you know, if we've only gone on a couple dates. I think a lot of times we get ahead of ourselves. And I was definitely victim to this, of creating the fantasy and the story we want it to be. And we have to remember, we have no idea what else is going on in people's lives, whether they're seeing other people, they're ready for a relationship, they even want a relationship. We can't just put what we want onto someone else.
Yeah, that's huge. And I remember myself in dating too, like you, I think I created the fantasy one because it almost helps me like believe in dating and get up the next day and like put myself out there, because I like let myself romanticize it. But it, you can't necessarily do that. And I think that's what might have happened a lot in a lot of those situations, was they saw like the down the roads because things were going really well from the initial. But yeah.
Yeah, and let's take it one step further, the Tinder swindler. Yeah.
Yes,
right?
I love it.
But I feel like that's exactly what happened, is people fell into the fantasy and they wanted to believe that this super rich, attractive man could give them the life they've wanted. And I do think it's a tough balance, because we can't just go in being skeptical of everyone. That's not a good approach either. But I do think we need to be realistic of where we are in meeting someone.
We have a new term for the opposite of love bombing. Do you want to hear it, Sydney? We made it up.
I would love to. Yeah. What is it?
Sous-vying. Taking things slow, but knowing that the end, when it's a fully cooked meal, that it's going to be delicious with multiple layers of flavors, instead of putting things in a microwave and hoping they'll just, you know, it'll cook and it'll taste good enough. So I think in this, in these situations, also with the Tinder swindler, also with West Elm Caleb, all these women put the control in their hands. So everything was in, on their terms, the man's terms. Oh, we're going to meet at this time. We're going to do this. And I'm going to leave by this time. If we can sous vide this, we take things back in our own control and say, no, I'm going to go a little slow. I'm going to see you on Friday. You know, like, I think we can all look at it in a different way of taking control of the situation.
I love a sous
vide. Yes.
It's delicious.
Okay. So much better.
I want to help people. I feel like, what are some best, like, can you give us some like best takeaways, or maybe, I don't know if they're quick tips, or like for the modern dater, how do we step forward now into the world knowing these things, like all the things that we listen to on the podcast? How do we move forward in a way of like still believing in love, still like ready to go on dates, still putting themselves out there, but also like protecting their heart a little bit and all those things. Like, what's the best way that we go about this with the world the way it is right now?
I think don't look at self-love as being selfish and putting yourself first. It took me a while to understand this, and kind of what UA was just saying, like, if you want to push the date out a couple days, do that. We hear of people saying, oh, I don't want, you know, this date to like basically get in the way of my schedule of the rest of the day. Instead of planning your day around the date, what if you plan the date around your day? And I think we are afraid because it's really interesting, actually. We have so many options right now with dating apps, yet we all believe that there are no options and that we have this scarcity mindset. And that's what it forces us to try to find these stories that appear good on paper and try to fit this like round peg in a square hole, or
Yeah.
Square peg in the round hole. Either way, it doesn't fit. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Either way, it doesn't fit. And I think we need to start taking that control and believing that, like, we are a freaking catch and someone is lucky to be with us. And until we can see that, how can we expect someone else to see that? And once we can see that, when someone goes or someone isn't ready, that's when you have the power to say, okay, this person's just in my way to find the person that will see that. And this is a stepping stone to find that person, opposed to, you know, take it to be personally. I think we need to take dating less personally. It's not a reflection of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's a couple things. I think it's important for daters to understand that we have a real opportunity to set our own rules and our own traditions, and we can be brave enough to do that. I think so many of us have been burned or heartbroken that we're afraid to step forward and put ourselves out there. Yet, end of the day, we still want that loving relationship. So there's a lot of want and then afraid of going after it. Just know that there are no hacks to love. And whatever you're going through right now, you are meant to go through this. Because all of the bullshit and all of the disappointment you may be feeling currently is setting you up for the right person who is just right around the corner. And we say this all the time, your person is literally right around the corner. You just have to keep going because you will meet them mm-hmm. eventually.
Yeah, and I think when it's like you're close, that's a good sign that they're even closer than you thought. When you get those like almost or like almost perfect on paper, like
yeah,
it means that you're really close. So keep going.
Keep going.
I think it's all about reframing, because even when you're getting rejected a lot, that means you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah. It's going to make you really strong. Okay. Let's wrap this up with like one last piece of advice, leaving thoughts, quick tip, anything that you guys have. It could be dating related or just really anything.
The one piece of advice I would put out there is remember that dating is supposed to be fun. So often we think about dating as a job and as work and as something we have to do, but it is a luxury that someone wants to take time to meet us and that we can do a fun activity with another human being. And we're so focused on the outcome that oftentimes we're not focused on just enjoying the present. And even if this person does not become your next partner or your, you know, future person and all that, it doesn't matter. It's just a connection. And if we can start to look at it that way, that's when some of the pressure will fall off and things will happen a bit more organically.
Mm-hmm. 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 I think my parting words of advice would be, we have to stop waiting happy. We do a lot of these, when I get this promotion, when I lose however many pounds, when I finish this, whatever, training, we constantly have these milestones and we feel like once we accomplish these milestones, we can be allowed to be happy for some reason. We somehow have permission at that point, but we've seen that this happens over and over again. Once you reach those accomplishments, you actually become less happy because now you've accomplished it. So stop delaying your happiness for these future what ifs and start going after the things that you want and that you know will make you happy today.
Love those. Those were so good. Okay. Well, I feel great. I hope this helps a lot of people be dateable. I feel like it will. Where can everyone find you guys? And when you have episodes, all of that good stuff.
datablepodcast.com. We're also at Dateable Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. Don't make fun of our TikTok. It's very small right now, but we're growing. We're growing it. Okay.
We
got to do the dances sometime soon.
That's how we'll grow.
We officially release the episodes every Wednesday, but if you subscribe on any of the platforms, you get the episodes actually a day early. So on Tuesday night. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yep.
Amazing.
And we're on every major podcast player. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you could find a podcast, we are there.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. This was awesome.
Thanks for having us, Cindy.
That is it for me today, you guys. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. Before you go, make sure that you rate, review, and follow, as well as subscribe so you never miss an episode. And one thing you can share in the meantime, this podcast, obviously. Send it to a friend who needs some inspiration or give us some love on social media and tag us at Something to Share Podcast on Instagram. And I'll see you next Wednesday.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle at Dateable Podcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.